Well, folks, it is a pleasure to get here eventually. We were running a bit late on the way up, and that shouldn't be the case because I know that road to Corrien as well as any man. And I was called on the way up by my son. I was told by my son on the way up to have a wee bit of composure. And my wee stepson, Alex, he says I was a bit grumpy. But we got here eventually. And I want to thank our brother Roger for his very kind invitation to come along and just to testify once again for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what the Lord has done for me, for what the Lord means to me, and how the Lord has kept, and how the Lord has blessed, and how the Lord has led right throughout my life. You know, I'm reminded just as we're sitting down there about my life and how I've been blessed from the moment I was born right to this very day. Regardless of the ups and downs and the highs and lows and the trials and tribulations of life, I have been truly blessed. And the Lord reminded me of that tonight just as we were sitting singing the hymns of Zion. I have much to thank the Lord for. And I just want to share a word of testimony to you folks tonight and hope and pray that those that know not Christ will come to saving faith in Christ tonight. That's it. That's what this is all about, that you would hear about Christ, hear about Jesus, who loves you and who longs to save you. And not only that, but God's people will be encouraged by way of this simple word of testimony. I was reminded to you, I was just looking at our brother Abraham here, this place is full of ministers who have heard this testimony before, so you're free to go, boys, if you want. Go now. But it is a pleasure to testify for what the Lord has done for you. And I want to take you to a couple of portions of Scripture. Psalm 34, first of all, and then Romans chapter 5. These two portions of Scripture I always use in my word of testimony. Psalm 34, beginning at the verse 1, and then Romans chapter 5, again at the verse 1. And Psalm 34, it says in the verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And go with me just to Romans chapter 5. Again, the first 8 verses of Romans chapter 5. And it says in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By him also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I love Romans 5, verse 8. I'm going to read it again. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's a very special verse to me with regards to my testimony. Because I grew up in a home in Makarah that was not a Christian home. And the reason why this verse is so very special to me, because in that home I was very seldom sent to the house of God as a young boy. Spent very little time with regard to Sunday school and the house of God. But this was a verse that I knew, probably the only verse of Scripture that I knew off by heart as a child, or as a teenager, or as a youth, or even as a young man for that matter. And why was that so? Because this verse of Scripture hung on my bedroom wall from I was an infant till I was a young man that left home, married at the age of 22. So as I look out upon the congregation tonight, I think about children, young teenagers maybe, and you've been brought up in the house of God. You've been brought up by faithful Christian parents, and it is a blessing because you know so much of the Word of God, so much of the truths of the Word of God, and that's a blessing. When you go home tonight, if you're a young teenager, you thank your parents. You thank them from the bottom of your heart. You thank, above all, thank God that you know so much about the Word of God. As I say, I grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. My mum and dad were never, from what I recall, in the house of God, other than for funerals or for weddings. We were sent to Sunday school, but so little time that I spent in Sunday school, I always say this, I cannot recall the name of anyone that taught me in Sunday school. That's an indication of how little time I spent in Sunday school. But you know, I will say this, that looking throughout my life, as I say, I look across all of my life and I can say I was blessed. Because there were always godly influences in my life, always. When I look back at my life, from I was a child to this very day, always God bringing me into contact with godly people. And it was no different whenever I was a young lad, or a young teenager, or a young man. Godly influences my life. I think, as I speak tonight, my word of testimony about my grandmother, who lived just maybe a couple of hundred yards away from where we grew up. There were six in our family, three boys and three girls. And that neighbourhood of ours was full of family members. I was just thinking about it. There were aunts and uncles that lived nearby. There were cousins lived nearby. My granny, as I say, lived across the way. My great-grandmother lived across the way. My great-aunt lived beside us. It was incredible. And I have something in the region of 40 to 50 first cousins that didn't all live in that housing estate, I can assure you. And it was fun and a lot of fighting at times. It was good. But we frequented our granny's home very often in those years. I'm talking about the mid-70s here, whenever I was a young boy. And I remember a wonderful change taking place in my granny's life. She got saved. And she would often tell us about her need to be saved. She sang the hymns. She told us of her need of Christ. And there was a very early influence in my life of the wonderful gospel of Christ and how Christ could change and save people. I remember clearly, she would tell us all, should there have been five or six of my cousins in the house or her sons and daughters, my aunts and uncles, faithfully telling them they need to be saved. So there was a godly influence in my life. Let that be an encouragement to you who is a grandmother or a grandfather. But I think also of a godly encouragement or a godly influence in my life, and that would have been a young friend that I had. A young friend who, like me, had a passion for football. But he lived just outside of the town in Macarrah. You see, the neighbourhood that I grew up in, I had a lot of young friends. And it's amazing what you learn as life goes on. Young friends, young fellas who were exactly the same as me. I gave you a wee indication earlier about the sort of home that I grew up in. And so little contact or so little involvement with the church. All of these young fellas were exactly the same. I'm talking about 12 or 13 young lads, all around my age. Houses or homes, the very same as mine. But this young lad that I knew came from just outside the town, passion for football, came in often into the town to play football with us, and he was a Christian. And my, I could tell from an early age that he loved the Lord. I'm talking now whenever I was about 11 or 12 years of age. This young fella had a witness, and he shone for Christ. On the field of play or off the field of play, he belonged to the Lord, and he wasn't ashamed to say it. So there again, he was, I would say, through those teenage years, one of my closest friends. And I thank God for that. A godly influence in my life and a young friend. And again, let me remind you young folks that are in the meeting tonight, young folks who are saved at school. Maybe you've got a lot of, I pray and hope that you've got a lot of saved friends, but maybe you've got friends at school or friends in your neighborhood who are unsaved. You know, your life can make an awful difference. Your life can make a wonderful difference to an unsaved boy or girl whom you run around with or whom you know in the classroom. That lad's mark in my life was amazing. But still I went on in my sin as a young teenager, as a young boy. And again, let me say this, and again, this is all by way of encouraging God's people. I think of a family that lived in our neighbourhood at that time. I'll give you again an indication of the sort of fellas that I ran around with. Again, their families, like ours, no time for God. No time for the things of God. But there was a family in our neighbourhood, a family of five children. Mum and Dad were saved and all the children were saved. And they went to a little meeting house in Macarrah. And I remember well that family having a burden for me, for my brothers and my sisters and for all the other kids in that neighbourhood. And they used to invite us along to their little meetings on a Sunday afternoon. And I can say I must have been about 6 or 7 years of age. I can't clearly remember what age it was. But I remember going to those wee meetings and hearing about the Saviour. Hearing about my need to be saved. Hearing about how Christ had shed his blood. And hearing the gospel in its entirety. And hearing about the gospel clearly. You know, I thank God for neighbours such as that. They moved out of our neighbourhood probably whenever I was about 12, 13 years of age. But what an influence on my life. I met one of those fellows who was about my age many years later down at the Milk Cup. I remember telling him, you know, because he hadn't seen me for years, about how I'd come to Christ, come to saving faith in Christ many years later. And I told him to make sure that he told his parents about the influence that they had been on my life. So there you have it, even in my early years, a young fellow who was rarely found in the house of God or at Sunday school. There were godly influences in my life, and I have much to thank the Lord for. But as I say, on I went in my sinful ways and in my sinful acts as a young boy and a teenager and even into a young man, as a young man. But you know, looking back at those teenage years, and again, I want to encourage God's people, because even though I was very far from God, and even though I lived a life that was, let's just be honest about it, it was reckless, and it was riotous, and it was ruinous. You know, whenever I come to think about that part of my life as a young teenager and as a young man, I think much about what the Word of God says about the prodigal. It tells us simply and clearly, but whenever he was away in the far country, about how he wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, I think about that word riotous. It covers a multitude of sins. As I look back in my life as a teenager and as a young man, it was simply riotous. It was reckless. It was ruinous. It was foolish. I mocked the things of God. I mocked the things of God. Even though, and again, let me say this by word of encouragement to God's people too. And I thank God for this. That somewhere in my heart, there was a flame of desire for more knowledge about the things of God. Because if I think about those teenage years, even though you couldn't have got me to the house of God, and I mean that, I was invited many times to a place of worship, or oftentimes to a mission or something, and I told many lies as to why I couldn't go, or as to why I wouldn't go. And that's all it was lies. I could have went many times, but as far as I was concerned, I wasn't going to be cornered. But all through those teenage years, you know what? Even though you couldn't have got me into the house of God, I thank God for those people who had a love in their hearts, not just for me, but for the multitudes out there who distributed gospel tracts. Because even though you couldn't have got me into the house of God, I had somehow or another a desire in my heart to read gospel tracts. As a teenager and as a young man, I read much of the world's filth, believe you me. But thank God that I would say it yearned for the little gospel tracts. I was fascinated by the stories of how men and women or boys and girls had been saved. And I remember well, maybe at a band parade or something and somebody was distributing the gospel tract, I would almost have crossed the road to get a gospel tract. Wouldn't have been brave enough, let me assure you, to discuss the contents of the gospel tract, or courageous enough to talk to anyone. And I thank you in the back pocket and went and read it at a later time. You know, and all the time the Lord speaking to me, reminding me, telling me that I needed to be saved. And you know, let that be an encouragement to you. I know, looking down as I do in every congregation when I testify, there are those of you in the work of God, maybe week after week or time and time again, you're involved in outreach work, and the discouragements come, and they come often. You know, the preachers need all the encouragement they can get. And you, God's people, who are just doing a faithful, simple work, such as gospel distribution, gospel tract distribution, be encouraged. There are those like myself who are not tearing them up in your face, who are not discarding them in the gutter, but they're reading them. And the Lord is speaking. And the Lord is moving in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. So I thank the Lord, looking back at that, I thank the Lord again, for it was only Him and Him alone that gave me that desire in my heart. Because I say my teenage years and years of, as a young man were reckless. That's just the best way I can put it. But you know, going on into whenever I was about to leave school and everything else, I began my working career in Macclesfield. I was from Macquarie, by the way, and I began to work in Macclesfield. And again, I'm reminded just as I stand here that the first job that I got, I needed a lift every day from Macquarie to Macclesfield, and the only lift that I could get to work was with a Christian man. So, and he was about 6'3". He had hands on him like shovels. And when he told you about the gospel, you listened. I knew him well. I knew his family well. It was actually his son that got me the job. But it's amazing. And the first, not only did I get a lift to work with a Christian man who was faithful to the Lord and telling me if I need to be saved, but the first people I worked with were Christians. I couldn't get away from Christians. You know, it's amazing. Everywhere I went, even in the workplace, people faithful to God telling me of my need of the Saviour. But I foolishly discarded the blessed truth that they were telling me. And as I think about it, I left school, got a job, and it was a wonderful time in my life because I found employment. But let me just tell you the story as I'm reminded as I stand here too, because all through my life, and I'm sure that you, the older people who are in the congregation tonight, look back over your life and you can see the hand of God in many ways. Indeed, the providence of God in many things in your life. And that summer, or that year that I left school, I remember well, it was an awful time economically in our country as well. It was 1982, right about that time. And I was determined, with so little employment in the country, to get away to the army. My older brother was already in the army. And he was sending back all these stories about what a great time he was having and all the countries he was visiting, and it was very appealing. And there was no, or not many real prospects for a young man. So I was on that track, or on that road, to say, to get to the army. I'd been as far down the line as getting a date to go. I remember it well. It was the springtime of 1982, and I was sitting across the table in England, having done all the tests and succeeded in all the physical tests and everything else, and I felt real good about myself. And as this major something sat across the table, and he says to me, "We'll bring you in 3 weeks' time," I was as happy as Larry. I was about to start my career in the army. But you know what? Something happened in the 24 hours from that guy telling me. In fact, he did say, "We'll bring you in 3 weeks' time," and he changed his mind in an instant. He says, "We'll bring you in at the end of the summer." Momentarily disappointed, but I said to myself, "I'll have a fair old time to myself in Makara before I head away. At least I'll have the summer carrying on and acting the clown before I get away." But within 24 hours, all the desires and everything else that I had about going away to the army and all the passion that I had left me. So by the time I was home in Makara back home, it was gone. And I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. But looking back over the years now, I can see that it was the hand of God. Because within, I'd say, a few weeks, I was in a steady job again with those Christians around me. I met the young lady I was going to marry. And within a few months, I was playing at Glentorne Football Club. Again, let me remind you that I, at Glentorne Football Club, that was a massive step for a young fellow out of Makara. I must admit, I was slightly afraid of the challenge, but on I went and took it on. But again, I came into contact with a man who, some of the older men who might be interested in football will remember the name. This was, as I said, the summer of 1982. And the summer of 1982 was like this summer. It was a World Cup summer. And I remember well the news came out about our team. The young men might find this hard to believe, but Northern Ireland did play in the World Cup finals in 1982. We played in 1986 as well. But I remember the news had hit or come back home about one of the players in the Northern Ireland squad who refused to play in the Lord's Day. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, so engrossed in the World Cup and so interested in what was going on, my only thoughts about it were, what a fool, what an idiot. And that was it. It was only a passing thought or comment on it. And within months, I was in the same changing rooms as this man who refused to play in the Lord's Day, took a stand for Christ. His name was Johnny Jemison. The older men will remember the name. But I observed him. And again, here was another influence, a godly influence in my life. And I found Johnny to be no fool. I found him to be no idiot. I found him just simply to be a man of God who loved the Lord. And as I observed, didn't talk, just observed, I saw that he had something that none of the other players had. Of course, that changing room at that time was full of, at least half of that team that I played in at Glentorne in those early 80s were international footballers. Very good footballers. But Johnny had something that all the rest of them hadn't got. He had Christ. He had the Saviour. And that made a distinct impression on me. But on I went. On I went to my sin. I remember those days very well. That my time at Glentorne very quickly became a successful time, not only for the team, but for me personally. Things went so well. As far as I was concerned, my passion was football, and it was going so well. But you know, looking back at it, I was falling deeper and deeper and deeper into a life of sin. No time for God. Those were dark days with regards to my life. Those were dark days with regards anything to do with the Lord. I still continued to tell lies when people gave me invitations. Yes, I continued to read the gospel tracts, and I thank the Lord for that. But success abounded for me personally and for the team. But you know, friends, I will say this, that I can thank the Lord again. Looking back on those years, and there were times where I can look back, and as I say, I see the hand of God and see the providence of God where the Lord's hand was upon me, protecting me and keeping me in dangerous times for me as an individual, foolish times for me as an individual. But on it went, as I say, success abounded. Your name in the newspaper, your name, your voice on the radio, or your face on the television. And looking back, I would simply say, I wouldn't have said it at the time, but I can say it now, I got carried away. Carried away with the acclaim, even though it was only part-time football. Deceived myself that it was everything and all that I needed. But see, and really was, if I look back at my life at that time, that was all I was happy with. I had all that I ever needed, but I hadn't got Christ. You know, I was to learn some years down the line, I'm talking now about 5 years down the line, and it's amazing as I think about that time. I'm talking now about the springtime of 1987. It was the year that I got married. It was also a year of great trouble in our land. When I think about that springtime of 1987, I think about our own area in Macaragh and Macrofield. The Lord began to speak to me. The Lord began to speak to me in a mighty and a powerful way. There was much murder and mayhem in our land, as the older people will remember in those times. And I remember being greatly spoken to by the Lord by deaths that had occurred locally and deaths that had occurred across our province, the brutality of it all. And not only that, but it was, remember, again, the older folks will remember what I'm talking about here when I mention the awful tragedy of the Zeebrugge disaster in 1987. That was around about the same time where a ferry left the shores of Belgium to travel back to Britain, and it didn't get very far before hundreds of people perished. And you know, that touched me. That touched me. Here again was people perishing in an instant. The murder and mayhem in our streets was people perishing in an instant. And not only that, but as I look back, the Lord spoke to me profoundly in another way. Again, the older folks will remember in 1987, the early part of 1987, the whole world's media was taken up with the whole news about the AIDS epidemic and the virus, and there was much fear. And this young man was afraid, because this young man had lived a life of sin. Afraid. For the first time in my life, eternity beckoned. For the first time in my life, I thought about death. For the first time in my life, I thought about what if? What if it were me? What if I were to stand before God? And you know, I have in my possession still to this day a little Gideon's New Testament that I had from first year at school. I'm sure there are many in the meeting tonight who recall getting those little New Testaments first year at school, if you're my age or thereabouts. And I still have it, and it says on that little Gideon's New Testament at the front, I put down the date, it was April 1977, first year at school. And this was around about March, April time, 1987. So 10 years I was in possession of a little Gideon's New Testament and had hardly looked at it. But now all of a sudden, a young man under conviction of sin, I found myself searching the Word of God. Because at the front of that little Gideon's New Testament, there's little portions or little pages where it says, where to find help when afraid. Where to find help when sorrowful. Where to find help when in trouble. And this young man at the age of 22, regardless of what success he was enjoying in his life, was in trouble. He was fearful. So fearful that sleep was taken from me. So fearful that, you know, any energy or anything that I had about me or any strength I had was gone. Under conviction of sin. I can remember that time well, but I cannot tell you for how long I was under conviction. Such was the turmoil in my heart. But it was real conviction of sin. And I found myself outside of work, reading the little Gideon's New Testament, searching the Word of God. Not at 5 to 8, as was normally the case, or dead on 8 o'clock at start time, but at 7:30. As I said, sleep was taken from me. And the Lord was dealing with this young man's heart. You know, I love that lovely verse in the Word of God which says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I didn't know much, as you would gather, about the Word of God, but I knew that the Lord loved me. And I knew that all I had to do was call upon the Lord. I'd read many stories about how other sinners had called upon the Lord, other sinners in trouble, other sinners burdened. And I was certainly a young man at 22 years of age, and let me admit, the seemingly unstoppable, I might add. I thought I was unstoppable. I was super fit. I was strong. But the Lord humbled me. The Lord brought me to my knees. And that's exactly what I did as a young man in a quiet place at work, just simply cried unto the Lord to save me. And the Lord did save me. You know, I think about that time. I remember well looking around at my older friends and looking at them and thinking, well, he's lived a life like I have lived, and he has lived a life like I have lived, and why is he not troubled? It was simple. The Lord was dealing with me. The Lord was dealing with me. And I can recall, you know, going and expressing to work colleagues and to those who I knew about my coming to simple faith in Christ. And there was one guy at work, and it was amazing too, because all through that time when I was under conviction of sin, and I'm sure I was a miserable boy to work beside, about a day or two after I had proclaimed to him that I'd got saved, I'd trusted in Christ, he relayed the news to me that he had done likewise. And the whole time that I was under conviction of sin, he was under conviction of sin. I was working side by side with him for weeks, and I hadn't a clue. I hadn't a clue. And maybe that's the case tonight. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've had a broken heart for a long time, and the Lord's been dealing with you for a long time, and nobody knows nothing about it. You know, the Lord's only a prayer away. And the Lord's longing for you to cry unto him, and he'd save you. I was so desirous to tell others, especially those people I mentioned earlier on. Now think about my young friend Ian, who I knew as a young boy. The young fellow told you was a great influence in my life. I remember going to him and telling him that I'd got saved. And the only place I was able to see him was in the church. I knew where he'd be sitting at, in the local church. So I went and sat beside him, and that Sunday morning, first Sunday morning after I got saved, and I'm pretty sure he got the shock of his life whenever he seen me walking through the door. And I sat down beside him. He'd never said nothing. But I remember saying to him, "Ian, I've got news for you. I've got saved. I've trusted in Christ." And I could see the tears welling up in his eyes. And he relayed something to me, or related something to me, that was a real early lesson for me as a believer. He says, "Alfie, that's the best news ever." He says, "We've been praying for you for years." By we, he meant his family, his mum and dad and his sister. I frequented that Christian home for years, and the family just prayed for me, and the Lord answered prayers. I think about Johnny Jemison. I remember going to training. Again, so happy. I wanted to tell Johnny. I wanted to tell believers. I wanted to tell as many people as possible that I got saved. And as you do at football training, you used to just pair up and do a warm-up and whatnot. So I got a hold of Johnny. I said, "You're with me. I have news for you." And we were running around in the warm-up, and I said to Johnny, it was the strangest thing to do, to tell him where I told him on a training pitch. I could have picked a quiet corner and a chair and told him. But I said, "Johnny, you know, I've got saved. I've trusted in Christ." And Johnny, being the really effervescent character that he was, let out this mighty shout of hallelujah on a football training pitch. And of course, all the other boys knew there was something up. There was something not right here. But again, Johnny was so delighted to hear that I got saved. And he said to me, he says, "Alfie, I've been praying for you since you came in through the door as a young 18-year-old. And the Lord had answered his prayers." Friends, maybe you have been praying for somebody, a friend, a son, or a daughter, mother, or father, neighbor, for years. Just keep praying. Just keep on believing. I'm pretty sure as those young men looked on at my life as they were praying and wondering. Yes, so many things in my life were good, but I was far from Christ. I was far from God. But the Lord answered their prayers. But on I went. You know, sometimes it was a difficult road. I spent some 6 years at Glentoran Football Club with much success. Not long after I was saved, I moved to Portadown Football Club, again with much success. And sometimes it was a hard road, as maybe the only player in the changing room that was a Christian. That wasn't always the case, by the way. But many times, indeed, a couple of times very, very publicly, you had to take a stand for certain things with regards your faith in Christ. And many times you took a lot of abuse from the stands. But praise the Lord, that we had the grace to take a stand on many issues and everything else. And, you know, the Lord was always with me. There were difficult times as a semi-professional footballer. But I thank God that he was always with me and always near me and always helping me and always able to help me whenever the opportunities arose to witness or to tell others of what Christ meant to me. But, you know, I thank God, as I say, I was married in 1987, and I thank God that he gave me two children. You know, looking back again before I move on about my family, at my own family, my brothers and sisters, I look upon that too, and I look and I see the wondrous things that the Lord did in our home. I say my older brother was in the army, my younger brother, and both came to simple faith in Christ over the years, both from very difficult lives too, and the Lord was good. My mum and my sister, looking back, truly blessed. That's all I can say tonight. Truly blessed. But I thank God that in my life, my son Aaron's with me tonight. And I thank God, looking back too, that one of the greatest pleasures I had in life was when he was a young boy at 4 or 5 years of age, coming to me in the hallway at home and saying, "Dad, simply, I want to ask Jesus into my heart." And maybe some of you parents have experienced that blessedness as a parent. And what a joy that is, to simply lead your son to faith in Christ. I thank God that my daughter, likewise, Alana, came to simple faith in Christ too. And you know, as a family, we knew household salvation. You know, when I think about the Word of God as we move on in our life, and I thank God that we, as a family, knew Christ, because days of trouble were to come to our home. I think back now, as I go back some 6 years, September 2008, you know, the Word of God does say that man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And I know, as I look out upon a congregation tonight, there are many in this congregation who have known trouble, who maybe know trouble tonight. No matter what that trouble is, and it comes in various ways, trouble everywhere. And we were to know our own trouble. In September 2008, my father took ill, and we knew it was terminal. But I remember the day that was confirmed to me. My brother phoned me at work, and he said to me, he says, "Yes," he says, it's what we feared. Our dad, he's ill, and it's going to be a few months before he passes away. And I remember putting the phone down, and within a few minutes I got the phone call from my wife, and she asked me simply the question. And it was, "Well, what's the situation with your dad?" I says, it's as we feared. It's not good. And you know, I remember clearly saying to myself on that day in September 2008, or I said to my wife, actually, Lorraine, I said to her, I said, "It's going to be a tough road from here to Christmas." See, I had foolishly put a time scale on everything, and yet I hadn't a notion, I hadn't a clue, really, what was involved. Those were the words that I uttered. "It's going to be a tough road from now to Christmas." And it was, folks, because within 3 weeks, Lorraine was taken home to be with the Lord in an instant. In October 2008, my son Aaron, who's with me tonight, was playing his first matches in Irish League football at that time. And on his way to Ballymena with his mum in the car, Lorraine was driving the car, and say, my son and daughter in the car as well. It's as simple as this. Lorraine's final words in an instant were, "I feel faint." And the Lord took her home. And I want to just remind you, young and old, in the meeting tonight, you need to be ready. I thank God that we as a family, for such a time of trouble, for such a time of crisis, we're safe in the Lord. We're safe in the Lord. And you know, looking back at those awful, difficult days and months, aye, and even years of great bereavement and great grief, I can safely say that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of it all, the Lord didn't disappoint. I can safely say that as a believer of some 20 years or more, that I was to learn more about the Lord in the storm than I'd ever learned before. I can safely say that the Lord was no disappointment, even though the road was hard and painful, that the Lord didn't let me down. When the Lord says in his word that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, his promise is true. And every promise is true. When I, as a parent, with sitting at home in great fear with two teenage children, 16 and 18 years of age, and not knowing what the future might hold, you know, humanly speaking, when no man can help you, the Lord can help you. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But in the trouble, we had the Lord. We had the Savior. And many days when it felt as if you couldn't go on, the Lord was there in the midst carrying you on. And I know I'm talking to folks tonight who know what I'm talking about. There are people in the congregation who know exactly what those dark, dark days are. Maybe slightly different in situation or circumstance. But dark days are dark days when it's only the Lord. And I thought many times about it. Whenever I was under conviction of sin, with nowhere to go and no one to help, it was the Lord who helped. When I think of the darkest days of trouble and pain and trial and affliction, when no one could help, it was the Lord who was able to help. Humanly speaking, I had many praying friends, godly people who prayed and prayed and prayed. But when your back's to the wall, 'tis only the Lord. 'Tis only the Lord can help. You know, I think, and I thank God for being with me all through those storms. And I thank God right up to this day, the Lord has been my help, my strength, my shield, my strong and mighty tower, my everything. You know, I want to just read with you something that I read oftentimes coming near the end of my word of testimony, and it's about the storms of life. And it says here, a few words that I've written down that I read some months ago. It says, God sends a storm that we may realize that the anchor of our soul is steadfast and sure, gripping the rock. He knows, the Lord knows, that when the waves have subsided and our moorings have proven secure, we shall sail forth. We shall sail forth toward the desired haven with a new confidence and a new assurance, for we shall acquire steadfastness and increase courage only if, having taken refuge in the eternal God, we find that when all else failed us, underneath were still the everlasting arms. When all else failed us, underneath were still the everlasting arms. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And it says, it seems that God chooses the hour of extremity to teach us most surely the greatest lesson of all the scriptures. And it is that we walk by faith. God would have us in a time of storm as well as when the seas are calm to trust him implicitly. To trust him only. He would have us commit our way unto him and lean not unto our own understanding. He would have us believe that all things work together for good to them that love God. He would have us so rely on his wisdom and discretion that we can add a staunch amen to Job's tribute. And what was Job's tribute? It was simply this: though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Let me repeat that. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. You know, I think about those as I close, right, because I know that time's rushing on. Those words that I uttered earlier on, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I was reminded of that very clearly just a couple of years ago. On a Monday, around about lunchtime, I got a phone call from a friend to say that my son Aaron was in a car crash. Not to worry, he's safe. The cars are right off, but he's safe. And in those moments, that phone call, like the phone call I got the day that Lorraine passed away so suddenly, your heart's full of fear and there's trouble. The following day, at lunchtime, again a phone call to say your mother's been rushed into hospital. And in those moments, again, your heart is full of fear. And the following day, on a Wednesday, just before lunchtime, you get a phone call to say your sister's been found dead. You know, and this is not friends, to make this any more dramatic, the story, it's reality. And I would urge you folks tonight, young or old, and simply say to you, if you're not in Christ, if you're not saved, you're in the greatest trouble imaginable to man. Out of Christ, without a Savior. Out of Christ, not saved, on your way to hell. And let me just tell you, the Lord loves you. The Lord longs for you to make that simple cry to Him. And He will save you. And He will prepare you for all of life's storms. And He will be with you in all of life's storms. And He will take you home to that desired haven, a home in heaven. I want to thank you for your attendance tonight, and I would just urge those, whether young or old, to just simply come and trust Him and Him alone. Amen.